You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
You're watching the BPS, or in other words, the Best Practices Show with the Kirk Barron. Welcome, strap up, get ready to rock and roll.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best practices all over, and you never know what you're going to get from that other good-looking bald guy in dentistry, so hang on tight. This is going to be super fun, and today, if you're growing your dental practice, hold on, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. If you're growing your dental practice, one of the things that you know to grow it is people have to say yes to dentistry, and today we're going to take a look at the truth about the top 10% of dentists in when it comes to case acceptance percentage. So you don't want to miss this. We're going to pull back the curtains and talk about what really happens when it comes to these practices with Curtis Marshall, our good friend, resident expert, every Tuesday talking about numbers in a dental practice. So grab a pen, hit the share button. You're going to love this. Now, a couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So if you're watching it and you have a couple questions, add them to the feed and I'll dish them to Curtis himself and we'll get the answers straight from the man himself. Or if you're watching this later on, continue to add questions to the feed because we want you to get the most out of this. Again, love all the suggestions for the shows. Keep sending them to us. We're lining all these up, and right now up over 39,000 followers, just shy of 40,000, and over 150,000 of you have visited us on iTunes, and man, we're just crazy grateful, having a ton of fun. Part of the fun is hanging around with people like you, Curtis, so you always make this a lot of fun and making our jobs easier as coaches and consultants for dental practices, because you're kind of like the you give us all the data. It's like pulling back. We get to see everything when it comes to the data. Now, you have been on the show many times before, and we're going to talk about this topic. But if somebody's watching this for the first time, they don't know who Curtis Marshall is. They've never heard of Dental Intel. Give them a little background on who you are and why you have this information.
Well, first off, how dare you?
What? How dare I? What?
No, how dare they?
But they don't know you. Okay.
All right. All right. Not you, Kirk. You're great. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Always enjoy collaborating and figuring out how to improve lives, right? I mean, ultimately, what we're trying to do is we're trying to improve our own personal lives, but also make it better for our patients. And that's exactly what Dental Intel is here. We are the best online software that provides actionable data to create to increase patient care and team performance. Those are the two main things we're focusing on. Myself, love dentistry. I even got a gold crown just because I wanted to see what it felt like to have it. Because the dentists always say gold is the best material for a tooth, right?
Right.
But absolutely, I love dentistry, love working with offices. But more importantly, love knowing what to do, not just what happened in the past. Because if we know what happened in the past, well, guess what? I know who won the Super Bowl last year. But that's not going to help me when I make my bets on the Super Bowl this next year, right? I need to know what's going on right now so that I can do better in the future, not necessarily what happened in the past.
Yeah, and today we're going to be talking about actionable data, and we've talked about lagging and leading indicators, but one of the leading indicators that helps you improve your practice day to day is restorative case acceptance, and truly what the top 10%. Now, let me just give some background on this. Curtis, you have over 6,000 dental practices installed on this particular app that goes into your software, right? So this is not, you're not just pulling numbers from midair. This is something that we've asked for from you and you provided greatly is we're going to talk about these numbers. I want to know what the top 10% of these installs are doing and these dentists are doing. I also want to know where the average is. And then I also want to know what the bottom 10% is so that we have some type of a benchmark to know what happens in these practices. So you're gathering data. You're talking about billions and billions of data points that you guys are gathering from dental practices
all
over.
That's not an exaggeration either, really, Kirk. When you think of all the data points that we're able to pull, are just our lines of code. Just our lines of code are hundreds of millions of lines of code, which means that we have billions of data points. And it's been pretty fun to put those together to know once again what to do in the future. And yeah, let's talk about these, what people who are successful with the top 10%, where they're at and how we can get there.
Yeah. So first of all, we're going to talk about a statistic, but I want you to define the category. We're going to be talking about restorative cases. So how would I define that in my practice?
Well, good question. So what we look at here is the ADA codes, right? The ADA codes, you have many things. You have hygiene. So a D1110, right? That's not restorative dollars. Even SRP is not a restorative code. Also, if you want to look at dentures, those are prosthetics, right? They are not restorative. So what we're looking at here is we're only looking at the restorative codes, not specialty and not hygiene. We're only going to be looking at restorative. So it's very specific and very actionable too, because now I can say, oh, when it comes to restorative, where should I be? Not, well, that's also including data from a doctor down the street that does sleep dentistry and also does implants and also does ortho and also does everything under the sun, right? We're only focusing on something very specific, and it's restorative codes.
Right. Now, obviously, I'm a big fan of Dental Intel, so you just plug this in and you can see it. But if a dentist doesn't have it, Curtis, they could pull these codes from their computer and they could take a look at it on a regular basis to see how effective they are at this, correct? I mean, you could do this.
It's a little difficult, but yeah, you can absolutely jump in there and see how many depending on your software, how much you've completed, but very rarely can you pull how many you've diagnosed. So you can't pull out and say, hey, this is X amount of diagnostic, how many you've done on, let's say, I don't know why my mind's blanking here, but a regular old crown code is 2640, something like that. I'm killing it. But
it's all right.
a regular crown code. How many did you put into a treatment planner?
Right.
You can't get that, unfortunately. That's all handwritten.
Right. Right. Now, the other thing, too, let's have a little fun with this. Every dentist thinks they're at what percentage when it comes to case acceptance? Everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're like 100%. You know what I mean? Oh. Is anyone at 100% ever?
No, they're really not. And that's something, it's okay though. We don't want to be at 100% because let me take that back, Kirk. We do have some offices who are very close to 100%. Those doctors are only presenting fillings.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is they're only presenting treatment if it's really bad and the patients ask for it.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are 100%. So as a doctor, as a clinician, do you want to be at 100%? If you do, though, that's how you're at 100%, is if you're only diagnosing what's absolutely needed and what's being asked from you by the patient. That's when you're at 100%.
Yeah. So let's take a look at these numbers. So Ben, put up that graphic if you wouldn't mind. This is the restorative acceptance percentage. And we're going to talk about the bottom 10%, the average, and the top 10%. Just talk about these categories, Curtis, and you, why you guys index this information.
Okay, so good. So once again, what we're looking at here, and Ben, I'm assuming that's up. But what we have, What we have is restorative acceptance percentage. This restorative acceptance percentage, we want to know how much, whenever I present restorative, how many people are accepting. So if I'm seeing 100 people, on average, 35% of those people accept restorative treatment. Now, this isn't just, you're presenting to 35%. This is saying you presented restorative treatment to 100 people, 35% on average accept.
Mm-hmm. And so that would be the bottom 10. That's the average. That's the average in the, you know, in all the installs. Then when you look at the bottom 10%, it's at 20%. So that means only 20% of people are saying yes. And then when you look at the top 10%, you're looking at 55% of patients say yes. Now, this has a dramatic impact on all of the things that come after that. Can you talk about this, Curtis?
Yep. So if you'll notice here, too, where the average is, we are not looking at the median average, meaning the exact middle. Mm-hmm. If you'll notice, the average is towards the bottom 10%. It's not towards the top 10%, which means that there's a lot more people below the median, which is the median would be between 20 and 55. That would be 40, right?
Right.
It's actually below that number, which tells us that, hey, there is something to be said here. On average, we are performing as an industry lower than we're wanting to. The top 10% of people of offices are at a whop. They're 20% higher than the average. They're 55%.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. And this is them saying yes to anything. This is them saying yes to one crown or all 10 crowns if you presented them 10 crowns on both people. They're just saying yes to some restorative treatment.
Right. Now, this is so important, too, because if you're a dentist watching this, you know, I don't want anybody to feel bad. But when you do figure out these numbers, a couple things. When you're in the middle, you can say to yourself, look, there's always room to improve. And we're never looking for perfect. We're always looking for progress. So if you are average, you pull these numbers and you go, gosh, we are average. You know, we're only at 35%. If you go to 37, you're making huge changes to the practice. If you go to 40, you're now seeing a whole new light. If you get anywhere near to 50, you've ultimately almost doubled your practice because you're just making those that have a compounding effect as it further goes down the line. Now, Curtis, when we look at these data points, Ben, pull that graphic back up. Let's take a look at the line that's below it because I want you to describe its impact on the average dollar per exam and what that means. So you look at the percentage, and now we're going to go to dollar per exam because this is powerful.
Yeah. So what this is telling us here, this is saying that on average, what are if you're presenting treatment, how many dollars are you per exam? How many are you getting accepted? The average, if you'll notice here, is 500. The top 10% is almost double, meaning that the people who are accepting more, getting more people to accept treatment, they're not just getting more people to accept treatment. On average, they're accepting more dollars.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the bottom 10%, right?
Right.
Bottom 10% is not half of 500. It's a little bit higher. Once again, this shows us that the average is much lower. The average dentist is not right in the middle. It's a lot lower, closer to the bottom 10% than the top 10%, which is scary because that's saying that us as the public, meaning Kirk and I, that we are not accepting the treatment that's needed for our bodies, for our health, for our well-being. We're not accepting it.
Yeah.
And let's just face it, dentistry's hard. It's inherently difficult. I don't care if you're working on one tooth or 10. And if you really care about dentistry, that's where it's really hard because you care a lot. And you could almost look at these numbers and say, Curtis, the people that are really good at communicating and getting patients, helping patients make really good decisions, when you look at those pure statistics at 55% and 940, you could argue they're working probably half as hard as the other ones and producing twice as much when you look at those. So everybody, when you grow your business, you're always looking for a more effective and efficient way to do it. Well, this is what we're talking about. When we get when you improve a practice, it's not about working around the clock and working harder and expanding your hours. What we want to do is get better within the hours that we work with. And this information is critically important to improve performance over time.
And Kirk, that's key because the average dentist office, they are not working hard. They're working really hard, yet they are way below the median, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why that they're working so hard, there's a great quote. It says, for those who know where they are able to get to where they want to be at a much quicker pace than those who don't know where they are. Right. The top 10%, the reason why they're there, the reason why they're at way higher on the percentage wise and way higher on the dollar end is because they know exactly where they are.
Right.
And they're saying, hey, all I need to do is fix this one little thing rather than let's go do better.
Yeah.
Rather than last month we were awful. Let's do better this month. Or last month we did really good. Let's do it again. Do what again?
Right.
I remember I'm just going to give this one example.
Please.
I worked in a dental office. My doctor came to me and goes, Curtis, last month you blew it out of the water. What'd you do? I'm like, I know. I did. Well, all I did was I did the same thing that I did the first month.
Mm.
And we had the worst month ever right after. Because I didn't know exactly what I did. I thought I did. But I didn't know exactly what I did. And I was trying to look good in front of my doctor, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work if you don't know where you're at.
Yeah. And the biggest part of improving anything is, number one, you got to know the truth. Like, truth is always a great place to transform change. We got to figure out where we're at. Number two, data is not emotional. When you're looking at data, you can make decisions really easily, and you're not guessing, you're not angry, you're not nothing. I coach a fifth grade football team, and I get a chance to coach, you know, baseball at that level. The percentages tell you everything about how to put a kid where, and not that we're doing that in fifth grade too much, but you get the point.
Too much.
I couldn't even imagine running a business without having any data, and sometimes we do it. So that's critically important. The other thing that I really like about this, Curtis, is that you're always big on using the word opportunity. So when you're looking at this, like when we take a look at a snapshot, and I do these a lot, and this week I'll be out at the California Dental Association, and literally there's dentists after dentists coming, I need to know my numbers. But I feel bad. Don't feel bad. All we're going to do is take a look and then see where the opportunity exists to improve. And when you see the opportunity, now you can start to seize it. One more thing I've got to add, because I can't. You know, you might be a private care practitioner watching this and go, you know what, I probably should take a look at my numbers. You have to, because the DSOs are using this exact platform, and they do what's called enterprise reporting with you guys, and they can see who their best doctors are. And so if you're a dentist and you own a practice and you have three dentists, you could quickly look and go, wow, who's our best case? Well, he or she is doing something that's working. Hey, why don't you just go watch her for a day or watch him for a day? And what happens in there is you have real-time learning. You have some of the people that aren't performing really well paired with really well performing people. And now you can see naturally by osmosis and by real-time learning, their percentages go up together.
Quickly too. It's not like it's there might be happening. No, we are able to see that once a doctor knows where they're at, I know why I'm there.
Right.
I know why I'm low on diagnostic percentage. I know why my restorative But if you don't know where you are, you can't improve. You just want to do better. But
right.
It's better. Better right. to you, better to the front desk are two different things. Better to the front desk is getting out on time.
Right.
Better to you is getting more dollars in your chair.
Yeah, and let me just fly right into the eye of the hurricane, which is a very touchy subject. Everyone's up in arms about DSOs and all these people coming in, buying dental practices. I'm just telling you, when you use the five pillars of profitability that you've shared with us many times in this show, you can take any dental practice. You can look at these five numbers, and they're like dials. You can play with them, and you can improve the overall financial health and patient care of any dental practice. I know everybody thinks they're different, and they are from a personal standpoint, but from a business, there's only five dials in dental practice. So don't get mad, get even. You know what I mean? Like get the equipment that everybody's using and just saying, hey, because I can do this without even looking at dental practice. I know it's kind of crass as far as the state, but you could do it too, Curtis. If I sent you all the data, you'd go, oh my gosh, let's play with this dial. Let's play with this dial. And in 12 months, you can predictably say that practice is not only going to provide better care, but it's going to be more profitable if we just play with this dial. Can you say that?
1,000%. And really, if you talk to any one of my CEO, Weston Lunsford, or anybody over here, the reason why Dental Intel was created was to help out the single practitioner.
Right.
It really was, Kirk, to help them to increase patient care and team performance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If the doctor knows, like he's great at, in his little area of, you know, talking about ducks because he lives in Oregon and it's the Oregon ducks are up in there, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever the situation might be, they're really good at that. But in order to increase patient care and team performance, they need to know where to improve their practice for the business side. And that is universal.
Yeah.
That's totally universal. Just like we all breathe oxygen, just like we all have to drink water. In fact, do you drink water very often?
I drink a lot of water.
Water is essential. We all have to have it, right? Mm-hmm. Same mm-hmm. thing with the dental practice. If we know what everybody needs to be improving, it's a lot simpler. And that's a true reason why we're so passionate about numbers, to help the single practitioner, because we believe that they take really good care of the patients. I'll just leave it at that.
Absolutely. And so I'm just going to say this. The one takeaway more than anything is just know your numbers. What you could figure this out on your own. You could probably pull it from your computer, but you got to know this number because it'll relieve the anxiety you have about how your practice is performing. You just look at it and go, wow, we need to improve that. And now you could collaborate with your team and not get emotional. We just got data that we got to improve over time. So know the numbers. Now, Curtis, you're so kind to offer a snapshot. And we've had hundreds of people take advantage of this. Curtis, your software, you can plug it right into most softwares, and in 5 minutes, you can actually see how your practice is performing, and you can see if you're in the bottom 10%, you can see if you're average in these categories, or you can see if you're in the top percent. How does this process work?
It's super simple. Just fill out the form. You download an easy little sync tool. It gathers all the data for us, and then within 3 hours, it takes just 2 minutes, well, 4 minutes if you really want to be technical, 4 minutes to install it. Within 3 hours after we mix up all the numbers, we're able to show you exactly how many restorative patients are accepting and also how many dollars you're at, so that you can now say, well, I'm doing really good on getting people to accept, but my dollars are low.
Yep.
Or vice versa, right? You can see exactly where you are so that you can improve tomorrow and today, and not look at the past.
Yeah, we love it so much as a coaching company. Now we have 6 coaches, and when they go in, it's like giving them the most incredible diagnostic information. Our coaches know exactly where to go to improve each process. It's just very, very cool, and I couldn't be more grateful, buddy. This is so much fun. So now keep in mind, some people are listening to iTunes. Curtis, if I've never heard of Dental Intel, where can I find this information? How do I find out more about this?
There's dentalintel.com. You can definitely go there, but also if you're watching this on, and that's dentalintel.com. But if you're wanting something quick and you're wanting a special from me, from Kirk, just text me at my text line is 801-380-7070. And just type in Kirk and I'll make sure you get the Kirk discount.
Cool, man. Thank you, buddy. Now, we didn't even get anywhere near to diagnostic percentages. We're going to do that in the next one and take a deeper dive. So I will maybe call the series How to Put Yourself in the Top 10% of All Dental Practices. Yeah. And the first part of it is just knowing where your percentages are at. So, Curtis, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate this, my friend. And stick around while while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed it today, which I hope you did, just do us a huge favor. Hit the share button. Keep sending us suggestions for shows that you want to see. We're going to take a deeper dive in all the best practices and the best numbers of the best practices out there and make your lives better one at a time. So, Curtis, thank you, my friend. Until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.